The Lord bless you, my wonderful YouTube family. I just want to thank you so much for your prayers and your positive input, your comments, and your support of us. And donations that you've sent have really helped keep us eating healthy and staying afloat. Thank you so much. Today is May the 30th, 2015, and the Lord finally finished the message that he began last night on the 29th. So here goes. And he gave me the topic as being enemies. He began, "There is so much more to the refining fire of enemies than anyone is truly aware of. They are my refining fire, a force to be reckoned with when loosed, a force to be pitied when bound, and I have total control at all times." Oh Lord, that thought is so challenging. How can you allow things to happen such as these ruthless killings? Now, before I go on with the Lord answering this question, I just wanted to make you aware of another video where he explains the destiny of certain souls that is agreed upon before they're born into this world. And that plays as a factor into this as well. There's things we just don't know about the creation of that soul and about their agreement with God at that time that they were sent into their bodies. We just don't know what their destiny is, and the Lord does know, and he understands, and there is an agreement there. So he continued, "That's just the problem, Claire. You are not me, and you do not see as I see. You have only 1 millisecond to the whole plan, a flake of frost on the tip of an iceberg. Oh, there is so much more to see. But for now, I ask only that you trust me and listen." Sorry. No, nothing to be sorry about. I anticipated your reaction, and it fits right in with the thoughts of others as well. Okay, now can I have your complete attention? I'm here. Just barely. When you hear a story told, you get only one side, and the current one at that. Beneath that tiny flake of frost is an iceberg of history. Things that never enter people's minds because they don't think as I think, nor do they care to know what I think. That is why so many things are a mystery to them. That does not mean do not be empathetic and pray. No, brotherly love and prayer are extremely important. You could be in their shoes tomorrow. There are generational curses, hidden sins, cultural influences, interrelational dynamics between each person involved, and even their generational curses. Things that go back hundreds and even sometimes thousands of years. This does not occur to the casual bystander, but the angels are aware. That is why you will at times feel strong warnings not to do something, or to go somewhere, or get involved with someone. Your angels can see what's coming. Holy Spirit also will recoil with apprehension in your conscience. I do protect you, but once you step outside the realm of obedience, I can no longer protect you as I wish to. You see, the demons are my policemen. They wait in line all day to sift a believer. Sometimes they line up around the block, so to speak, just to get one shot at a soul. Once a believer has crossed the line and disobeyed, however, permission is given, but only so far. In other words, what they are allowed to do or not do is controlled by my permission. In other situations, I allow the demons permission because I'm perfecting a soul in virtue and patience, forgiveness, and virtue needs to be cultivated. At the very same time, when I allow an attack from the demon, I know how it will affect the soul, and that they will in turn pray for those who are being used to attack. Very often those souls have no one to pray for them, and the one whom they attack are my very last resort to find intercessors. This has been the case on your channel as well. Those who have attacked you for no reason at all are in serious need of intercession. Their salvation is at stake. Oh, Lord, that's so very sad. It is indeed. Claire, I need your prayers for them. You see, some people have been brought up to believe I'm a God of harshness, hatred, and punishment. This is because people around them misrepresented me. They were controlled by a religious spirit that is simply a demon, very often of judgment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and criticism, mixed with persecution in the belief that they are acting in righteousness to correct false prophets. They, in a sense, become the Savior and God because they are taking my role upon themselves. This parallels the Messiah complex, except instead of taking on the sins of the world, they become the prosecuting attorney and judge, passing judgment on everyone that does not live up to their harsh image of me. You see, they are not used to hearing me as a gentle and loving God. They cannot imagine the face of an innocent newborn being the very accurate image of my loving Father's own face, as you do. They see him as mean and cruel and continually corrective of fallen mankind in whom there is no good thing, throwing thunderbolts of justice and wanting to annihilate anyone who falls short of their idea of holiness. It is because they are so eaten up with hatred, judgment, bitterness, and even jealousy that they are in dire danger of losing their souls. But in their understanding, it is all the others that are going to hell, while they are the only holy saviors making corrections with harsh attacks at anyone they consider a heretic. You see, you have found me to be gentle, kindly, and helpful when you fall. You didn't always see me this way, but because you've opened your heart to mine, you do. For instance, when you were in the grocery store, very, very tired, and didn't use the best judgment in what you bought, you came home feeling badly, even very badly, that you should be harshly punished. And what did I say to you? Oh, you were so sweet, Jesus, I just melted in repentance. You said, I will help you make better decisions next time. He continued, and this is truly my nature. It is my kindness that leads to repentance with gentle souls, and sometimes even with violent souls. When they feel my love and forgiveness wash over them, they melt, and repentance flows like a river from their sinful souls. It is only with the stubborn, self-willed, and obtuse souls that I am at times forced to use more forceful corrections, which I hate. So when I see others doing this to my chosen vessels, I love them unconditionally, but am not happy with their behavior. Yet I allow it because they need prayer. I understand that they do not truly know who I am. I am a God of righteousness, but I tenderly carry the lambs in my arms and lead the ewes with wisdom and gentleness. I even speak this way to my shepherds, so that they will in turn learn the language of love. Love and righteousness cannot be separated. They go hand in hand. Some are of the impression that they can wield the sword with righteousness, and love is not even in the picture. They don't feel love, they feel hatred, anger, and bitterness. They wield unkind words in an unkind way and then expect everyone to obey them, and all they do is run from them. This causes them to sink more deeply into bitterness and judgment. You see, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So without love, it is impossible to lead my sheep or to correct and guide them. And never should the motives of others be judged. That is my job, and my job alone. Those who do this do not know me. They know a Jesus who is not kind and tender, but judgmental, and always looking for an opportunity to punish and correct. Again, they are victims of a religious spirit or religious demon that has convinced them that they're doing me a favor, when in fact they are scattering the sheep I have worked so hard to bring into the fold. They perceive themselves as powerful prophets of wrath, sent to pronounce judgment on the nations. And yet, judgment is on their doorstep. Oh, Claire, it is so sad to see these poor ones bent and twisted from birth by those who do not know me. This is why your channel has become so important to others. You know me, and they hear my voice when you share our conversations. And oh, how they have hungered to hear me. They have heard men over and over and over again, and all they want is to love me and to be loved by me, not to have a stack of religious rules imposed upon them when the only reason they came there was to seek me and to be closer to me. Those who are shepherds after my own heart are terribly persecuted, but then they wear my crown of thorns, and it is fitting. Still, they choose to love and not hate. This is my true nature. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There is one other aspect that I have not covered. Many times, those who have taken on this role are mentally disturbed and abused from childhood. They see the harshness and punishing role authority figures have, and transfer that image to the final authority figure, God. The fault is really with those who never really love them. They should have seen the final authority figure as loving, kind, and corrective, but the love got left out, so they take on that role with others in harshness and bitterness. And finally, as my servant Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And the other scripture that came to mind after the Lord quoted this one was 1 John 4. We love because he first loved us. And then the Lord broke in and said, this is a failure. These who judge have never known my love. And the scripture continues, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And I want to add, people think that someone thinks that they're loving when they come on a channel and they cause all kinds of problems and disrupt the flow of what's going on. They may think, well, I love them, so I'm going to tell them the truth. But the Lord doesn't see it that way. He sees it from the vantage point of, he's trying to bring the sheep together and someone else comes along and tries to scatter them. I mean, that hurts the Lord. Okay, so then the Lord continued, so as you may have gathered from what I've said before, I use the enemy to form and correct my vessels. If I want them to increase in love and compassion, I send those who are critical and mean-spirited, without understanding of how I'm working through you. In this way, I know you will become more pliable, more compassionate, and pray for them. In the end, Claire, I use everything and everyone to accomplish my ends, for I shall complete the good work in you that I have begun, and I use everyone and everything to that end. I know you were dying to share that story, so go ahead.
Yep, I've been dying to share it ever since the beginning of this message.
Yes, Lord, it's true. I can't hide anything from you. This is a story told by Graham Cook. I can't remember if it was a dream or a vision that he had. But the Lord showed him a full-sized, hand-carved stone statue that was exquisitely done. Well, Graham asked him, "Well, who is that a statue of?" Jesus replied, "That's you. Would you like to meet the artists?" And of course, Graham said yes. Then Jesus showed him the two men who'd been persecuting him for years, sitting in the front row of every convention, and then writing scathing reviews of his teachings. And this had been going on for years and years and years. So indeed, Lord, you do use everything and everyone to shape and form us. My love, I want you to remember this teaching, but more importantly, I want you to pray for the one who's been persecuting you. This is my heartfelt request from you. I bless all of you, my children, but I look especially fondly on all of you who have nothing but love in your hearts for those who are troubled like this soul. By your love, you prove to me you are truly my disciples and brides. This man will be saved because of your heartfelt prayers. He surely will.